Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be drilling into a number of global equities, and to do that, we have with us very kindly the head of equity research at Hargreaves Lansdown, Darren Nathan. Darren, thank you much for being on the podcast today.
Ah, it's a pleasure, Jonathan.
So we've had a particularly busy week out there today, Darren. Well, this week, actually, I mean, today in particular, we've had lots of companies reporting. We're going to be covering some of those companies in some detail, but we're going to be looking at some bigger themes to start with. Now, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to cover all of the big names out there that have reported this week, because there's just been so many. Of course, we've had Shell this morning. They've got some interesting numbers that have come out. Lloyds has reported. We're going to touch on them a little bit later on. But what we're going to start with, Darren, is the online media section. So this encompasses some of the US tech giants as well. So we're going to be looking at Meta, of course, the owner of Facebook. We're going to be looking at Alphabet, the holding company of Google, and also WPP here in London, how they all tie up in what's happening out there. But Darren, from what you've seen so far this week, what are the overarching themes in this sector at the moment?
I think it was only a matter of time before we saw some pain. I mean, corporations are coming under pressure from inflation and they're under pressure to make cost cuts somewhere. You need to ask whether advertising is the right place to do it, though, because actually, you know, you might get a short-term cash gain, but indeed, you know, you need to advertise to stay ahead of the competition. I think the first really major sign that we had that online was starting to hurt, in my opinion anyway, was the recent announcement from Snapchat, and they're saying even the busy holiday season isn't going to see any growth, and that has fed through. Probably the biggest shock really was Facebook today, or Meta as it likes to call itself. Perhaps that's testament to what people know it for. Everybody at Meta wants people to think of it as being a shift towards virtual reality and us all running around as avatars, but actually, you know, most of the jam comes from advertising at Facebook and some of its other platforms such as Instagram, and less so WhatsApp. And you know, they missed their forecast today. Revenue's fallen 4%, and you've seen the share price go down 20% or so, and that is absolutely huge when you think of the size of the company. You know, that's billions of shareholder value wiped out in a day, and I think, you know, they're really going to have to show that they're focusing on driving that bottom line back in the right direction, rather than playing with their new toys if they want to get investor sentiment back on board. Google, I guess, or Alphabet as it's known, it's got a few more strings to its bow, but it is the it's the commoditized advertising where I think you're going to feel the pain first. Google has got a lot more services than just advertising, and it's one of the big emerging players in cloud services. However, that side of things is quite hard to predict. Microsoft this week missed its analyst expectations on its cloud services, which includes Microsoft Azure. There are a lot of question marks out there at the moment. It's certainly choppy waters to navigate.
So just with those two there, because obviously they're operating in very similar markets, do you think there's any differentiation between, you know, what's happening with the online advertising at Meta and what's happening with the online advertising at Alphabet? Or do you think it's external pressures that are impacting both companies in the same way?
I think it's they're definitely facing similar challenges. but there are also competition elements to it. So you've got YouTube at Alphabet, which has seen a dip in the period just reported, even though analysts were expecting growth. And there's a lot of new entrants into, particularly in the short video space, such as TikTok. So, I think it is general downward pressure, but you've got to differentiate. And I think perhaps that's why WPP, was able to upgrade at least on the revenue side this week, because it's not just selling space, it's selling creative ability, end-to-end delivery of the whole campaign. It's picking up specialist agencies on a regular basis as well, each with a different service offering. And it should be able to do that perhaps at better multiples as, smaller private agencies perhaps find it difficult to eke out a profit without the big infrastructure that the likes of WPP has.
Indeed. That flows quite nicely into WPP, actually, Darren, because I remember some years ago now, they actually held their hand up and said, look, we've been slow to this social media game. And of course, now their fortunes are very much linked with activity there. So, I mean, do you see a high level of correlation in what's happening at WPP with the likes of Meta and Alphabet going forwards?
I think so, to a point. I think, it's great that WPP have been able to upgrade this time round, but they can't hide from the tide forever. That being said, it does have more of a value add that it can offer to its customers. I think you can't overlook the creative talent that they have in-house, and also it's got the full suite of advertising offerings. So that's everything from outdoor advertising through to television, through to newspaper, through to radio, and I think traditional advertising isn't dead. You need to find the right thing for the right market and for the right product, and having that holistic view really helps them. But as I said, if advertising spend as a whole continues to drag, then they will be affected eventually. And that's perhaps maybe why they upgraded on earnings, but they've downgraded on the margins, and they're investing more in people and technology. And I think they're probably just having to spend a little bit harder to keep that growth going.
Indeed. It'd be interesting to see what the fourth quarter looks like for these companies in the online advertising space. But it does raise a question, Darren. If you look at Meta and Alphabet, they're obviously classed as the tech stocks, the mega caps there. And we've got more companies set to report. And of course, we've had Microsoft. I mean, when we look at the broader tech sector, are these issues that we see at Meta and Alphabet localized to the online advertising, or do you think when we start to see the other tech stocks, likes of Amazon and Apple report, there could be a bit of softness there as well?
Well, let's start with Microsoft. Clearly, that's not an advertising play, but you are seeing discretionary spend come down, so they've suffered on Windows, not so much on the corporate version of Windows, but on the more commoditized inbuilt version that laptop and PC manufacturers supply when you buy a laptop, be it from Currys or online. And, that's been a big hit for them. Having said that, they have got areas have more structural growth. And I think, the cloud is something they're really pushing. Cloud was up 24%, but it was lower than analyst expectations. So it'd be interesting to see this week how the market leader, Apple, with its, uh, I, I beg, I beg your pardon, Amazon with its AWS offering does on that side. And also, you know, Amazon, you might see a similar divergence there. You might see, you know, the online shopping maybe coming under pressure, but hopefully we'll see that being offset by continuing cloud growth, which, as I said before, is also something that Google is looking at. Apple is a slightly different story. It is very much a consumer technology play, and you know, it keeps on bringing out new phones. But you know, how much better are they getting compared to earlier iterations? I think we're on iPhone 14 now. You know, it's a lot of money for consumers to stump up in the current environment, and we have seen some pressure on device sales, but it's an ecosystem and customers can downtrade to earlier versions of the iPhone, and Apple is trying to, you know, really get more dollar per user, and it's got a, you know, a massive user base, and it is really increasing the service offering. It's you know, through the likes of Apple TV and that sort of thing that it is offering to its customers.
Yes, it's always interesting with Apple because, you know, when we get the release of the new phone, there's always a lot of anticipation building up to the sales, and, you know, each year, but increasingly we're seeing comments coming out that, you know, there's not too much difference to the prior one, but they, you know, they always seem to be robust in terms of their sales figures. So it will be interesting to see what the figures are for the latest model when they come out.
There's a loss of customer loyalty there, isn't it? It's almost fanaticism, and I think there's a lot to be said for that. But, you know, how far that can go when people have to actually make sure they've got food on the table and, you know, pay to keep the lights and the heating on in the current environment. I think we're entering slightly uncharted territory.
It is. I, for one, are due an upgrade, so I'll probably be partaking in the purchase of the new one at some point in the coming months. So, Darren, to finish off with, we're going to be looking very briefly here at the UK banks. We've had a raft of companies in the sector reporting so far this week, at HSBC, Standard Chartered, Barclays and Lloyds this morning. Of course, each one of these banks is slightly different in the way that it operates in terms of the different markets that it focuses on. But if you look at the sector as a whole, Darren, is there any key themes that's coming away from these banks so far?
Definitely. So, you know, all of them should, to some extent or other, be beneficiaries of a rise in interest rate environment. That means the difference between what it pays and what it charges on capital. You're seeing that margin widen. But actually, you know, that also puts their end customers under pressure. So Lloyds today, on face value, net interest up 19% to 3.4%. Some of the other income has dropped off a bit, but underlying profit up 22% to 2.4 billion. But, you know, they're being a bit careful about the outlook. So they've taken, you know, nearly 700 million in impairment charges. And if you take that into account, profits are down by 17%. And there could be more to come because the consumer is coming under pressure. We've been used to cheap money for so long. And, you know, the Lloyds in particular are very much focused on mortgages. That's households, you know, one of households' biggest expenses. And as fixed deals start to unwind, there's going to be some really big hits out there. So I think that's the general theme. Having said that, you know, the likes of Barclays have some different strings to their bow. They've got the investment banking arm and trading. So, you know, actually investment banking might struggle a little bit because we're seeing low volumes of IPOs, but I think the trading part of it is doing quite well at the moment. Having said that, Barclays has, some regulatory and legal issues hanging over it. It's also Standard Chartered and HSBC. A lot of Asian exposure, which I think you've got to differentiate where in Asia you're looking at. But I think China's starting to cause some issues, particularly on the real estate side. And, you know, you've still got the zero COVID thing going on out there, meaning people aren't moving around and economic growth is really likely to worsen there. Just after it's been the driver of global GDP growth for so long. So, you know, you can't paint them all with the same brush. I think if they manage their debt book well and make sure that, you know, they've got the capital adequacy side covered, then that's the basics and gives them a bit of downside protection. Should be able to eke out a bigger margin in this environment. But if your credit quality or your, you know, lending criteria is shaky, then you're going to run into some trouble.
Yes, indeed. I mean, when you're sort of looking at, you know, if we break the sector down into the UK banks, Darren, and those ones, you know, Standard Chartered and HSBC operating overseas. I mean, do you think as we move through a period where there could be some economic downturn, do you think they'll be, you know, each one of those sectors will perform better than the others? Or do you think it's going to be, you know, if we see a global recession, they're all going to be, taken up in the same sort of market theme, and, you know, maybe all see weakness or maybe all see strength?
Look, I think it's just good to have a few bases covered and not have everything in one basket. I think, you know, if you're all on UK mortgages, that is going to be an issue. If you're all on China, that's going to be an issue. And you do see, all of these companies trying to diversify a bit. I think having global coverage does help a little bit. Moving back into what we were saying about media, WPP yesterday, you know, they did have good growth at the top line, but they did actually highlight two of their most important regions, Germany and China, is having quite a significant decline. So, you know, whatever sector you're in, you need to make sure that you have yourself spread a little bit.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Darren. So just a quick recap of the stocks we discussed today. There was WPP with the ticker of WPP, and there was Meta, of course, the old Facebook, trades in the US under a ticker of META. It was then Alphabet with a ticker, of course, also in the US of GOOGL. And we just finished off there with a bit of discussion around Lloyds that reported this morning, which has a ticker of LLOY. Darren, thank you much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you, Jonathan.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.